Hi everyone, I'm here with newly elected mayor, Mr. Siegel, or Mayor Siegel. Thank you for giving the time to do this interview.
Thanks for the opportunity. I will correct you in one small aspect of what you just said, and that is I'm not quite elected because the election will be in November, first Tuesday in November, if it is. November 7th, I think. And it's possible somebody could do a write-in or somebody else could do a petition. I think there's still a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, it does look like I'm likely to be returning as mayor.
Well, congrats nevertheless.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess we could start off with just your background. So
sure.
By trade, you're a lawyer and business executive.
Yeah, by training, I'm a lawyer, yeah. But I've always looked at my legal training as an opportunity, as a means of doing other things, not only practicing law, but being in business, being in government, investing. There's a whole range of things you can do with a legal degree. It's really a way of thinking.
Yes. So I guess that you've mentioned this background. I mean, now that you're presumably going to be mayor soon, how do you think you could use this professional experience to to contribute in a good sense of being a mayor?
My answer to that I can base on actual results, which was my first term. It's not a necessity to be a lawyer to be on the board, although I think there are at least two people right now who are on the board with legal training. But it helps because you are used to under statutory analysis, you are used to negotiating. And when I was previously the mayor, I had opportunities to negotiate certain transactions. We had something with Greenberg that we negotiated, and I sort of took the lead on that. I also think that being a lawyer, as I said, is just sort of a way of thinking and trying to be organized, and that plus my background as a business person gave me I won't say a different perspective, but a perspective that was perhaps frugal is the best way to describe it, which is I treated the village like I would my own finances or a private enterprise. And that was a necessity at that time because the 2008 financial crisis had just occurred. And that meant there was going to be a lot of shortfall in finances. And so we had a tough time with budgets. And it was also a time when people who I knew were losing their jobs. So you have to be really sensitive to that fact when you're creating a budget for a village. You don't want to create additional expenses for people.
So I guess we could go back to your first term as mayor. It was 2009 to 2011. Is
correct.
That correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So based on my research, I saw that you stepped down.
Correct.
Yeah. So what factors, led to that decision? Because it's definitely a tough decision to make.
Yeah. It wasn't like I wanted to leave, but at the time, it's a pretty easy answer. I had young children. I have a wife who's a surgeon. And I was helping to restart Clear. So I wasn't going to give up my job because I had to provide for my family, and I didn't want to give up the time I had for my wife and children. So I made a choice with the intention of coming back at some point.
Yeah, and I guess to follow up on that question,
sure.
I mean, now it's been 12, 13 years since you've made that decision. I mean, why now have you decided to run again for public office?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I just finished a stint as the chief executive officer of a public company, and I have lots of time to devote to being mayor. And two, I like Brian Smith, our current mayor. I think he's done a good job, and I wasn't inclined to run against him, and he's stepping down. So there is an open. I guess the short answer is there's an opening, and I have time, and I always wanted to come back. I did stay involved in politics the whole time I was out, but just not with the same degree of intensity.
Yes. And then we can get to, like, your, accomplishments during that term as a mayor. I mean, what accomplishments during that first term were you most proud of? I mean, there's probably a lot that you did.
No. It was a really... This is not going to be like the sexy, fancy accomplishment. It is basic, I'll call it blocking and tackling, which is the country and the village was facing a financial crisis. When you have that kind of a setback that you are unlikely to remember it given your age, but the truth is that Washington had to come together and create a program like they did for COVID. And the stock market tanked and there were financial companies that were failing. And Main Street was suffering at this, and I don't mean literally Main Street Irvington, but Main Street across the country was suffering. So a lot of my focus was on making sure that the village continued to provide the services they needed to provide without increasing expenses or increasing them as little as possible. And people, I have to say that everybody understood that and everybody worked to make it happen, from village staff, who I think are great, to the folks who lived in the village.
Do you think there's any mistakes what were the challenges in tackling that major issue of the financial crisis?
It's everybody has an interest. I mean, we're sitting in the library, so to use the library.
Yeah.
Nobody, if I said to the library, I need you to cut, 10% of what you were going to get, that's not easy to do. And you have to recognize that you don't want to eliminate jobs of people who are working in the village. That's counterproductive. You don't want to stop people from being able to use the library. And again, I'm just using the library as an example, but that happened across every department. And it's not a simple thing to do. It's about building a consensus. I mean, the truth is, being a mayor has it's a relatively simple function. I'm not saying the job is simple. It's very complicated, but it's listen and work with the board to make intelligent decisions. Because you don't have a monopoly. I don't have a monopoly on good ideas. The best ideas are going to come from getting the community to contribute their thoughts, and then you can synthesize that into a good decision.
Yeah. I guess we're learning, building off of that mindset. I mean, you talk about synthesizing different ideas. Were there any projects that use that type of mindset were never finished during that term?
I'm sure there were some.
Or that were the most notable.
Well, I don't know if this is the most notable, but I remember them trying to create a dog park at the time, which now exists. Yeah. But that didn't happen because people couldn't agree on what they wanted or where it could be located. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes it just takes time to get people to come around to wanting to do something. In contrast, the farmer's market, which everybody sort of, I won't say takes for granted is probably the wrong term to use, but doesn't think of it much anymore. They go, they don't realize that took a decent amount of work on the part of the village, the mayor, the board, the staff. That happened when I was mayor.
Mm-hmm. I guess we could go back to the term that's coming up for you now. So what do you believe are the most pressing issues Irvington's facing today, and how do you plan to address them once formally
elected? Well, I'm sure whatever I tell you will not be right when I get into the office,
because
things change dramatically in relatively short periods of time, but from an overall perspective, it's always getting and keeping good people on the village staff. It's building consensus in the village about what people want. And if you want a specific example, there are big infrastructure issues that have to be addressed. For example, and this is being worked on now, the firehouse is not of sufficient capacity and doesn't meet all the requirements of the fire department. Hmm. And they're going to have to change that building. That is a very large expenditure, and it offers the opportunity to potentially house other departments there and free up other space. So that's a very complicated project that could take 5-6 years, and it's just starting now. And that's what happens with most village projects. They're many years. I came in at the very tail end of Scenic Park. I know that took years and years, as did the Irvington Woods. I take no credit for either of those projects, but I use them as examples of things that took many, many years and involvement of governmental agencies at every level, from the county to the state and so on. And this project that I just described, the firehouse building, will require the same kind of organization and resolution of a lot of complex issues.
That's very true. I also, from my research, I learned that you're good at negotiation, which I know, but you're able, in the past, you've been able to work past political, like, lines or, like...
Yes.
Yes.
I was there perhaps for one of the biggest disputes between the parties, and that was the tied mayoral election, which I don't know if you realize that, but I was on the board at that time that resulted in lawsuits between the candidates. And if you're not familiar with it, you can look that one up. It happens very rarely across the country when you get a tie in an election. And there was one unopened ballot. So the lawsuit, for the most part, involved what to do with that one unopened ballot. And the courts eventually decided that we should not open it. It was a tie. And the way the law works is, if you have not adopted a law that says you'll have a revote, then you have to decide by lot. And what that means literally is by chance. So we put four types of one quarter in a bag and four types of another quarter in a bag. In other words, eagles on the back of one and maybe Statue of Liberty on the back of the other. And one candidate was Statue of Liberty, one candidate was eagles, and we pulled it out, and that's how we decided who was the next mayor. There had to be 5 to 10 cameras, like major news organizations, sitting there on the floor to film that, because it almost never happens. I've seen it happen one other time. Needless to say, the village, shortly after that, and I wasn't in office, adopted a law that says we'll have a revote. If that ever happens again, we're not going to decide like that. Now, it seems silly, but the truth is that saved money and time. I don't know. I'm not telling you whether that's the right or the wrong result, but I think that's why that law was originally put in place. And since no one expects ever to have a tied election, they don't deal with that in advance.
Yeah.
And just let me add one more comment, because your original question was, how have I sort of dealt with the parties on both sides? The answer, and even in that circumstance, I had to deal with people on both sides of the aisle, because you had Republicans and Democrats on the board at that time. And with the mayor essentially non-functional during this lawsuit, because we didn't know who the mayor really was, it came down to the board to try to make things work. And I think I contributed positively in that circumstance. And also, I have in the past been endorsed by both Democrats and Republicans. And I honestly, even in this circumstance, anybody I've talked to, I've encouraged them, if there's anybody out there who wants to run against me, to do it. Because I think that's a better way for people to hear what the issues are and to understand that there may be two sides to a decision.
I mean, in building off, like, so now, I mean, more than ever, like, our country's more polarized, like, politically, like, with the left and right.
Yep.
Do you think, like, you can still use that mindset in this, like, time?
Yeah, I'll tell you why, at a local level, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Because we all are thinking about the same issues, and they're not necessarily Republican or Democratic issues. It's, you know, are the parks open? Is somebody picking up my garbage? It's, you know, it's things like that people care about. And the village, by the way, I think you know this, doesn't have responsibility for the schools, but it's important to maintain good relations with the schools. But that would be also high on my list if I had responsibility for the schools, education. So anyway, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it definitely does. I guess I'm going to get more specific with one of your initiatives. I mean, so you really care about the environment, I've heard. Yeah. I guess now, can you provide more like details on specific actions you're going to take like concerning that?
Well, I think what the village has done is, you know what, can I take a step back to your previous question just to add something to it? While it is true that the political parties at a local level don't, oftentimes you could have Republicans and Democrats on the same side on a particular local issue because it isn't really a red or blue issue. I do believe it does matter. The party matters from the perspective of oftentimes local candidates are the ones who get elevated to higher office. So if you or anybody else who's a voter cares about whether they want a Republican or a Democrat in a higher office above the village level, that's a consideration. That's something to think about. So, sorry. Now, if you want to remind me of your next, your follow-up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, environmental issues. Yeah. Sorry. I think the village has been working towards those. I know there's more to deal with, but at a local level, it's often, you know, it's recycling and it's trying to be as carbon neutral as you can. Don't leave engines running. I believe it's the county that has legislation on that particular point. You can't leave a car running for more than a certain amount of time. But I would take the lead from the person that has been hired from the village to advise and promote environmental initiatives. My philosophy on that in that regard is, look, I have three sons who are probably, I'm guessing, about 10 years old, and they're in their 20s. And I want to leave a world that's at least of the same environmental quality that I had when I came into it, if not better. If I can do that, I'd like to do better.
Is there anything like at a grassroots level you can effectuate into like...
Well, you can I think the village is starting to do this, install chargers for electric cars. I mean, I think we're going to move that way. And if there's an opportunity to let people from a zoning perspective do, I think the village has worked on a number of these things, but there's always room for improvement, but to let people install solar panels in various ways. When those first came out, I know there was a question about, hey, they don't look good on the roof and, you know, a neighbor might object to that. You have to get past that because the way... Well, I'm not an environmental engineer, so I'm not going to give you the specifics, but there are opportunities in that area.
Yes. And then I'm going to also touch on so Irvington's a very like commercially sound place and it's very culturally rich. How do you intend to like promote those aspects going forward?
It's an interesting question because you commercially sound, you can, yeah. I would interpret that as the village has sufficient resources, but the Main Street, for example, which is the commercial district, it's not a huge commercial district, but has the complexity of the, you know, it's a steep slope. It's got geography that works against it a little bit to, as best you can, to try to help promote business. For example, that's part of what the farmers market was about. It brought people in who are not from Irvington, who can do shopping, who can go to restaurants, who can do various things. You have to look at opportunities like that because you're not generally the village. I mean, the village is not in the business of investing in local businesses. It can be in the business of promoting activity that helps those businesses. So I know that upcoming will be, I think it's Westchester 250, and I know a former trustee, Connie Kehoe, is working on that. Yeah. And that is, you know, a celebration of that 250th anniversary, and there'll be a national celebration, I'm sure. But That's an opportunity to celebrate the history and to bring people to Irvington.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That was a two-part question. Also, one was commercial. Yeah. One was environmental. Again, the environmental. I think there's a move towards sort of more food recycling. The more productive recycling, and by that I mean, if you're just recycling things that don't ultimately have a place to go, you're not. It's not useful. But if you can do something that makes sense. And Westchester certainly has the facilities to recycle plastic and metal and so on to promote that. It saves the village money and is a positive for the environment.
Yeah. I was wondering, so you've mentioned how like you want to promote opportunities in Irvington that would attract people from outside Irvington. I know like you're like the responsibility as a mayor of Irvington is mainly focused on Irvington's well-being, but how much of an obligation would you say you have, like, in serving, like, perhaps, like, surrounding communities?
Well, a lot of that's sort of a mutually beneficial relationship. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when I was on the board, and I'm pretty sure it still exists, they started having all the local mayors, all the villages within Greenberg would meet. And they would meet to compare notes, you know, hey, if I've got a good idea, maybe somebody else would like to try it out. And also to find out how can we work together. So for example, we collectively bid out paving or some other project like that, or is there a piece of equipment we could share? Or is there even a facility we could share? A garage or something like that, that would make economic sense and actually save the two communities some money. So I think that's a very important obligation. You are correct that my first obligation is to the people who live in Irvington, but sometimes that meeting that obligation involves working with other government agencies, and that includes Greenberg, obviously, Paul Feinberg, and others like that. And our state representatives, because and congresspeople.
So you're talking about collective projects, like when you're working with different mayors. Was there like a particular project you were most proud of, or you think was the most productive?
Well, I don't know if that's I'm not sure it was a multi-community project, but the Nature Center, which was for the most part put together during my tenure, I think it was almost done when I left, was pretty significant. Partly because the community came out, there were a number of people in the community who came out and lent their services, architects and builders and others who just, you know, were bringing out a shovel and doing things to try to build that. And the O'Hara Foundation donated money, and our congressperson at the time, Nita Lowy, got us a grant, a federal grant, to help pay for that. That's a really satisfying project if you're working on something like that. And I don't want to leave out what the village staff did, because they're always on the front line of getting things done.
So I know, like, in Irvington, community engagement is very important, as you highlighted in the O'Hara Nature Center, mm-hmm. like, example, along with transparency, of course. So, going forward, I mean, I don't think this has been much of an issue in Irvington, but how do you plan to involve the community in, like, decision-making processes and, like...
That's sometimes tough, too. It's sort of why I said it would be nice to have somebody running against me, because that raises the...
Yeah.
The level of attention, if you will. But I've talked with some of the some of the trustees who are running, and we've talked about trying to do some sorts of local forums. Or the first time I ran as a trustee, I rang almost every doorbell in Irvington. I walked with other candidates, and obviously not everybody's going to be home, but I did my best to try to stop and listen and hear what people had to say. And you do your best by putting out, you know, there's a newsletter that Mayor Smith does on a regular basis, and there are announcements in the newspaper. You have to, people have to want to be involved. I can't make them be involved. Yeah. Generally, they will get involved if it's an issue that's you know, on their doorstep. If it's broader issues or financial issues, they will get involved in at the time the budget's getting put together because something's important to them. But that's sort of an ongoing job that the mayor and the board and the village staff has to try to get people's attention for the things that are important.
Is there like any like certain issues that like you have a hard time bringing out engagement in? Whether it be because like they're pretty sensitive or?
Not really. I mean, the ones that people get most excited about are usually involve something about real estate or zoning or, you know, a new large building project or something of that sort. Only because it impacts them directly.
Yeah. We pretty much hit a lot of the points I wanted to talk about today. I know I probably should have talked about this in the beginning, but I mean, growing up, what motivated you to get involved in politics? I mean, considering you're also a lawyer.
Yeah, that's kind of an easy answer. I went to Colgate University as an undergrad, and when I graduated, I didn't have a job. And my father suggested I go talk to Joe Lieberman. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a former vice presidential candidate. And at the time, Joe was running for Congress. And so when I went to talk to him, he was the state Senate majority leader in Connecticut. Okay. And at the time, I went to work in his state Senate majority leader's office in Hartford. And then he ran for Congress, and I worked on his congressional campaign. And at that point, I ended up going off to law school. But we stayed friendly, and he later was Al Gore's vice presidential candidate. So I got involved early on, and I've actually seen him. My whole family had dinner with Joe and his wife, I don't know, probably about 6 months ago. And he has a position, I'm not sure I agree with it entirely, but he has a position in the upcoming election because he is very much involved in a group that is looking at running a third party candidate, which could swing the election perhaps in ways that I wouldn't be thrilled with, but he's at least thinking about how do you reduce some of the friction between the two extremes of the political parties. But in any case, to answer your question specifically, that's how I started getting involved in politics, and it was a great education. Because I would travel everywhere with him. I was driver, scheduler, whatever, because it wasn't a huge campaign, and bring people over to introduce him.
I think that'll pretty much wrap up our interview today.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate it. And if you do have follow-up questions, you're welcome to.
Yeah, no problem. Just keep posted because I'll post this in the newspaper.
Okay.
Or in the podcast. And we might have some student questions as well. So
no problem.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.